We all need them. I've got them myself. I'm trying to keep track of me. I need keeping track of.
The person that I've just relied upon for so long has hit her hips.
Yes.
She anticipates, tracks my calendar, worries about things I'm missing up on deadlines.
Yeah. I've got one of those as well. In fact, she's well acquainted with Deborah. At this point now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, the other thing is, over the years, I've come to rely on Debbie's proofreading to the point that I'm confident enough in it. Sometimes it just, you know, at Assistant, sometimes where everything that comes out of here, I feel like I have to make sure that we're, there might need some trouble. And I don't have to do with Kim. I don't think. Kimmy hasn't been here that long. How long have you been with us?
2 years.
Wow. I think you've been there. I haven't relied on Kimmy more because of Debbie. Threat to quit.
She thought she's been worked too hard.
Too far in from Canyon County every day.
Mm.
So
it is that.
They're trying to figure something out, but she's only working 4 days now, so Kim's picking up the slack. Okay, it's a couple of minutes after 11. Well, we just added another person. So I'll start over again.
Paul Arrington here, sorry.
No problem, Paul. I was just barely starting, so you're on time. It's a couple of minutes after 11, and this is the time and place scheduled for a status conference to discuss a remand, a decision by the director, and I think this is the remand of the original decision in the Rangan delivery call that was issued January 29th, am I correct? Is that 2014? I think that's correct, isn't it, Justin?
Yes, I believe so.
We have so many of them.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
And so we need to discuss the remand and how the department should go about addressing any issues that remain, and then implementing the instructions of the court. So we scheduled this status conference on our own initiative. Let's make sure that we have parties on the phone. So we'll start on the phone again. You'll identify yourselves and work carefully not to speak on top of each other, if that's possible. Who do we have?
Fritz Emily for Rangan, Director.
Thanks, Fritz.
Sarah Quad, I'm delivering
to Pocatello. Okay, so Sarah and Anitra, are you on as well? Or?
I am, Director.
Okay.
Ken,
thank you, Ken.
Jerry Rigby.
Thank you, Jerry.
Again, Paul Arrington on behalf of members of the Coalition, Surface Water Coalition.
Thank you, Paul.
John P.J. Budge.
Others?
Robin Brody, Rangan.
Thank you, Robin. I thought maybe I heard you speak earlier. I wasn't sure. Others? Okay, let me go through the list. Who has spoken? Fritz, Sarah, Mitra, Kent, Jerry, Paul, TJ, and Robin. Any others? And we have a lesser number here in the state office of the department. I'm Gary Spackman, director of the Department of Water Resources.
Justin May on behalf of Rangan.
Garrett Baxter for the department.
Okay, so there are four of us here. And again, when I started, the department scheduled this scheduling order to discuss with the parties a way forward. And maybe I'll just throw it open to the parties themselves. And I don't know who might want to speak first. Are there issues that the Department of Water Resources and the parties feels we should be addressing in the remand of the contested case back to the director?
Director, from Rangan's standpoint, on the remand, it doesn't seem that there's really any issues that need to be addressed. The remand seems to anticipate that the director will simply issue a new curtailment order that takes into account the elimination of the trim line. It doesn't seem that there's anything beyond that that's necessary to do in terms of proceedings.
Okay. Others, TJ, Sarah, Jerry, I suspect there may be some opposing viewpoint.
Director, this is Sarah Klein. I guess I would disagree with Justin. The judge's order on the trim line seems to contemplate that there is no basis in Judge Wildman's view for the trim line per se, but left open the possibility of futile call. The court was careful to say that is in the junior's court, junior's bailiwick, to show futile call. And we think we're entitled to an opportunity to do that on remand, given the given what's at stake here. So,
somebody else joined us.
Director, this is TJ. My call got dropped for some reason, so I just got back on. When I left, Justin was explaining that the curtailment ought to just continue without the trim line, and then I heard the tail end of Sarah's comments, and I apologize for missing whatever happened in between.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us again. I didn't hear the call, the loss of the call and signal, so it may put you at a disadvantage, TJ, but if you heard Justin's statement, maybe you could respond. You're not in a position.
I didn't hear Sarah's statement.
I just said I thought we were entitled to put on a futile call analysis for the director, TJ, given the way that Judge Wildman's order came out on the trim line.
Director, I know there's been some discussion, and I've spoken with Jerry about this. He may want to comment it as well, but there's certainly a belief among some people that the director has an obligation to apply the futile call doctrine, and it would be an abdication of that responsibility to proceed with curtailment without doing that, and that there are some exceptions to the doctrine of res judicata that would enable the director to do that. So I have been privy to some of those discussions, and I think that's what Sarah's alluding to, that she thinks there ought to be an opportunity to address that before the director moves forward with the remand.
Okay. Any other statements on the futile call issue or on any other issue?
Mr. Director, this?
Yep.
Go ahead. This is Jerry Rigby. Obviously, this is near and dear to my client's heart, and really the basis upon which we originally put evidence into the record. We believe that And I guess all I need to do is say I would echo the arguments and the comments made by both Tara and TJ, that I believe this now opens this up very widely for continuation of the evidence and additional evidence to support this fuel call doctrine, which we believe now speaks even louder for the director to address.
Other comments on the issue of the fuel call?
Director, may I respond once we've got all the comments in response to that?
Yeah.
The futile call doctrine, as the parties have alluded to, was something that was fully litigated, and that was one of the defenses that was raised in the original petition in this case. That has been raised. It has been dealt with by the director. It has been dealt with by Judge Wildman, and there is nothing in Judge Wildman's order that purports to give another bite at litigating that issue. That issue has been dealt with. The only statement that Judge Wildman made with regard to that in the context of the trim line was simply that it was not an additional justification given by the director. However, he, in his order, went on to indicate that it seems unlikely that there is any indication of futile call in this particular case, given the amount of water that Rangan would receive. Again, that issue has been dealt with, and there's no reason to have any further proceedings in this case on the futile call.
I'm aware that this issue was brought before the court again on a petition for rehearing. Is that the correct characterization of what was filed with the court and heard?
It's a judicial review, I believe.
Director, I think at least one of the parties that maybe been both Igwe and Pocatello, maybe it was just Igwe, sought clarification through a petition for rehearing before the Judge Wildman, after he issued his memorandum and decision on judicial review, asking clarification on this issue of futile call and whether the director was required to address the matter on remand.
This was brought before the court after the initial memorandum decision order on petitions for judicial review, right?
Correct.
Yes. Judge Wildman issued his lengthy opinion, and I have at least the court date on that is October 24th, and then there was apparently a petition or a request for reconsideration and perhaps rehearing on some issue, but at least the decision that I, subsequent decision, the court date of December 5th, 2004, discusses issue, if you recall, and this apparently was the subject or one of the subjects that was an issue before the court on rehearing or reconsideration. And so I'm looking at this order. Go ahead, somebody.
Mr. Director, this is Sarah. Can I speak to that for a moment?
Sure.
The October 24th decision, section F, is the court's discussion of the trim line. And in the scope of that discussion, the court refers to the fact that the director did not make a decision about futile call, but that would be a valid basis for the for a determination that curtailment was not appropriate. He doesn't get into a lot of detail about what that looks like. He made some findings that we thought were dicta, that he rejected that, or the court rejected that on reconsideration. But he also said on reconsideration that the court finds that what proceedings are necessary on remand can be determined by the director. So to the extent that there's any concern that the court somehow made some findings that you're precluded from remand on. I don't think that's accurate. The court seems to leave the door open for the director to determine, based on his orders, what the scope of a remand would look like.
Okay, and I have looked at the provisions, at least the order that's titled Order Denying Petitions for Rehearing, and the language contained therein, and it does say that the court did not order that the director apply the futile call doctrine on remand. It also says the director did not expressly address or rely on futile call in the final order. Appeal to this court. And then probably the language that Sarah's referring to on the next page, on page 3, it says the intent of the qualification, and he's talking about a qualification up here about the court deemed it necessary to qualify that its ruling was not addressing the futile call doctrine, which may take into account the disparity in conjunction with other factors such as timing. The intent of the qualification was not to remand the case for purposes of applying the futile call doctrine. So I think what the court is saying here is, no, the court did not direct the director, did not mandate that the director consider futile call, but then goes on and says, accordingly, the court finds that what further proceedings are necessary on remand in this case can be determined by the director on remand, and I guess that's why we're here today. So let's move off of futile call just for a minute. Let's talk about any other issues that the parties may want to consider, and then I'll come back to it. Are there other issues that we need to talk about that I either need to incorporate into an order that adopts the judge's ruling, or that the parties think I should be taking out, other than this futile call issue? Well, that's great. It's great to have a one-issue status conference today. So,
Director, I guess I would...
Sorry,
I didn't mean to cut you off. I guess I was just going to remind that there is the issue of the expanding the curtailment order to include the fact that there was no trim line. That's obviously something that we believe needs to be done, but that's...
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's necessarily an argument, at least that's been tendered in remand with respect to that issue. Maybe an issue on appeal, I don't know, but certainly under the court's order, that isn't something that I would be considering. Somebody else wanted to speak?
Mr. Director, this is Jerry Rigby again. Again, I guess, and you said moving off the futile call, I think what needs to be addressed here is whether or not, as a result of the decision of the court and the direction that the director initially went with the with using the Great Rift, and that's no longer, at least in its present form, a matter there, whether or not the director, whether it's necessary or reasonable to have additional evidence before the director. I know Brandon's position is that it's not. Our position would be that it would be well, and it would be wise, in light of this decision, to have additional evidence presented concerning what other options are out there besides the Great Rift or in support of the Great Rift. Because, as the director knows, the Great Rift was not something that was addressed specifically by any of the other parties to say that that would be, quote, the trend line. So I guess my question to the director is, what would be your position concerning additional and necessary evidence and proof concerning where else to go? Obviously, the director believed initially that there needed to be something to address and recognize that there are certain areas in this aquifer that do not impact the Rangan column. And now that that has been modified, not deleted, but modified, whether or not additional evidence would be helpful and necessary for the director.
So are you suggesting, Jerry, that additional evidence be offered to the department with respect to justification for a trend line? Because the court said, and I'm paraphrasing, I hope not incorrectly, that that there may still be some opportunity for the trim line. It's just that the director didn't convince the court that the evidence justified the trim line at the Great Griff.
Correct. And especially when, and I guess I see the train wreck coming, when we have what I call Rangan 2, where this very evidence will be presented. And to say that in Rangan 1 we can't use the Rangan 2 evidence, we could end up with differing orders, recognizing there's two different water rights here, but differing orders that shouldn't be.
Now, when you say the Rangan 1 versus the Rangan 2, you're referring to, am I slow to the tape, Jerry?
I'm sorry, what?
Maybe I misunderstood what you said. I thought you were comparing Rangan 1 to Rangan 2.
Director, I think he's referring to the second Rangan delivery call.
The most recent delivery call that we just filed our next expert reports, I believe, yesterday.
Okay.
Or Friday.
Director Fritz Hammerly, you know, what Mr. Rigby is proposing is rather bizarre, that we had a full evidentiary hearing on all these issues, and now Mr. Rigby wants to come back before the court and basically get a second crack at, you know, proving how much water accrues or doesn't accrue. I think that's been determined. Certainly there would be no more facts that would be available for them to try. They've had their bite of the apple. They had their opportunity to make their defenses. And the facts have been determined. It'd be wholly inappropriate to redetermine the facts or have a so-called second chance.
Mr. Director, this is Sarah Kahn. I have a thought that both Jerry and Vince's comments bring to mind, which is, you know, Jerry makes a good point that the 2014 Rangan delivery call is going to include evidence from the juniors that where we will ask you to consider the fetal call doctrine as a result of the technical evidence and legal argument, because I think fetal call is a mixed question of fact and law. It could be that the way to handle this is to set the remand hearing out far enough that we can have the hearing in March on the 2014 call, and if you find the fetal call evidence in that matter compelling, then the table is set, so to speak, for the remand hearing. And I don't think, Fritz is concerned, but I don't think any of this is extensive amount of, you know, it's probably a couple of days of testimony. We're not talking about another two-week trial, and if it's been put on in the 2014 hearing, and there's the director's persuaded, maybe it's possible to pick that up and just apply it in a new order in the remand without a hearing at all. But by setting a hearing out of distance, we have an opportunity to keep that option open if the director would find that to be useful.
Director, we would strenuously object to having somehow evidence in the second call or using the second call somehow as an end around what has already occurred. This evidence has already been presented. It may or may not be appropriate to be presented in the context of Rangan's second call, but it's certainly inappropriate to somehow have a hearing on Rangan's second call that's retroactively applied to the first. I mean, the hearing has already been had. The evidence has already been in, and it's been ruled on by the director. There simply is no need or opportunity here to re-deal with the issue. The judge's order in this case, reference to the futile call, was simply in the context of saying that that was not given as a separate and independent reason by the director for trim line. It was not an invitation to relitigate or re-argue an issue that has already been beaten to death in the first hearing.
I'm looking for when the hearing is scheduled for the second delivery call. Somebody have that on the calendar?
First week of March, Your Honor.
First week?
March.
Oh, there it is.
March 2nd.
I missed it. So starting the 2nd.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's go back. I'll leave Jerry's issue hanging. Are there any other issues, at least for now? Are there any other issues that we need to talk about? And I want to try to pick through them one at a time. Okay, let's talk about the delivery call issue. I'm sorry, the futile call issue. As I was writing some of the original and decisions here, I actually looked at some of the definitions in the conjunctive management rules and the statements about futile call, and there are two of them that I think are important. Maybe they're the total sum of references to the futile call. One is in the definitions section itself, and Eric, I didn't bring in my document, my conjunctive management rules. You have to have them there. I think one of them is in subparagraph 8 of the definitions, thanks, where it states that a delivery call made by the holder of a senior priority surface or groundwater right, that for physical or hydrologic reasons cannot be satisfied within a reasonable time of call. By immediately curtailing diversions under junior priority groundwater rights. So there is a definition. Then there's some discussion in Rule 20, subparagraph 4, about the principles of the futile call applying. But then there's some additional language there that, and frankly, that language confuses me because it almost sounds as if the language states that even though under normal circumstances a futile call would be found, that there still might be some grounds for the director to require junior water right holders to provide water to the senior. So those two provisions I've looked at before and weren't referenced in the January 29th order issued by the 2014 issued by the director. So I guess what I'd like to do is to have the parties look at the conjunctive management rules and brief for me, if you would, what the futile call means in a conjunctive management call, just as a legal matter. And I tell you that because I don't know. And whether I hear it and receive additional evidence or whether it becomes part of the remand in this matter, I probably will need to have that briefing for the second mitigation plan or the second delivery call anyway, because I've been told it will be raised as an issue. So I want to ask the parties to brief the legal issue for me as a threshold question. And then the next question is, if on remand I consider futile call, what additional evidence the parties like to submit, if any? And I'm sensitive to the statement, Fritz's statement, and also Justin's, that this matter has been submitted, and if the parties wanted to rely on a particular legal theory, that evidence should have been submitted. But I also recognize that I have a responsibility as the director, particularly upon remand, to look at it, and I think I have the authority to augment the record if I need to, given what's been said in the remand and the subsequent orders by the court. So I'd like to have some information about what evidence is not in the record to support any consideration of the issue of futile call. The issue of futile call had not been at least addressed in previous orders of the director and in court orders. Jerry, I'm a little less willing to open up the trim line, presentation of evidence about the trim line. Previous court decisions had established that trim line was, at least had been recognized. And the parties, I thought, presented evidence that was exhaustive on that subject, as far as percentages and model certainty and model accuracy. So I guess the second, but I won't close the door, I'd like to know what other evidence there is out there. I'm not sure that there is evidence that the party could bring that would be helpful in any kind of consideration. But I won't close the door. So at least on those three subjects, first is a threshold question. I'd like to have the parties tell me what the standard is in reviewing a delivery call while keeping in mind or knowing that at least the conjunctive management rules refer to futile call as a possible defense. And then second, what additional evidence the parties would like to submit. And then, so I'm asking for information now. I'm not ready to rule. And you can submit that either in two parts or in one, but and I don't care how it comes in. So let's talk about timing of the submittal.
Director Fritz Hammerly, I think there's an additional issue here that's probably very important. And that's how records get augmented. Personally, I don't believe that you do have the authority to augment records willy-nilly. I'm not sure you have that authority at all. But to the extent that the juniors want to raise that issue, you know, I think they should explain to you exactly how they intend to augment the record. And upon which rules they're going to rely on to do that.
That's fair.
And I do think it's important to point out, Director, just that you mentioned that that there was a lot of evidence with regard to the trim line. One of the defenses that was hotly contested in the hearing in this particular case was the futile call. It was raised, it was litigated, it was hotly contested. And so the suggestion that that's somehow different from it was hotly contested in the original order. So I think, along with Fritz's comment, there needs to be some reason why we're reopening an issue that was hotly contested during that previous hearing on the basis of this particular order, because there is nothing in the order that would allow another bite at that apple, and that I cannot.
Well, give me some legal authority on the subject that you're raising, Justin Fritz, and I'll look at it. I didn't come today ready to make a decision. So let's expand again the issues that I want you to talk about. One, and maybe the initial threshold question is, does the director have the authority to augment the record? And what issues were fully litigated at the hearing? So I think those are probably threshold questions, but I also want included in that analysis an analysis of the futile call in the setting of a conjunctive management, a rule call, call delivery call. And then lastly, I'd like to know what evidence proponents of augmenting the record would offer in addition, just a description, would offer in addition to the evidence that's already in the record.
Director for Tamerly Jansen, this is the junior's rock to push at this point in time. We'd like you to stage that briefing schedule where they file their briefs and then we have an opportunity to respond.
TJ, Sarah.
I think you can do that if you want to, but I think that without sacrificing the burden that I realize the juniors have, there may be a more full exploration of the issues if you have simultaneous briefings on the substantive issue of futile call. When the juniors explain what they believe the standard is, and the seniors explain why they don't believe it applies. But that's just a thought. I'm not trying to create a situation where the burden is shifted inappropriately for us.
Let's follow Fritz's proposed schedule. So how long do you need, Jerry, Sarah, TJ?
I'll throw out 3 weeks.
Well, I'd like to
have... I'm going to ask, how long do we have?
Well, I'd like to have some... least everything on it come in prior to the hearing on the second mitigation. I'm getting these mixed up and I can't seem to get them straight. The second delivery call, I'm sorry. I've got futile call, delivery call, and mitigation plan, and I'm mixing them terribly today, so I apologize in advance. The second delivery call is at least on the issue of futile call. Parties want to raise the issue in the hearing for the second delivery call. So I'd like to have them come in before that, and if you want 3 weeks, that's probably more than I can grant. And I guess what I'm thinking is 2-2, and that puts us right up to the threshold. And I don't know what else to do. So
we can make that work.
14 days for the initial submittal from the proponents, 14 days after that for a response. And if anybody wants to work like crazy on a reply, they can do it before the hearing. It gives them what? A couple of days? Today's the 28th. February has 28 days in it, or do we get leap year this year? Huh? Oh, today's the 27th. I'm looking for the weekend like everybody else. So if it's, let's see, We've got 31 days, so there'll be a few days left for a reply brief. So 14 days, and then if somebody wants to file a reply brief, have it in before the hearing that starts on, what, 2nd of March? Have it in Friday before. Doesn't give you much time. Friday before is... February 27th. But that still gives us... That still gives us 31 days. January has 31 days in. So let's... I'll establish the deadlines here. So 14 days out is... 2 weeks from today. January. What date is that? Do you know, Jerry? Anybody?
I'm showing February 10th.
February 10th?
After. February 10th. Mm-hmm. Shows for
me. And then 10 days after, or 14 days after, that's the 24th?
Correct.
And then you have the 27th to get it in, to any reply. Issue an order schedules the submittal time periods. Okay. Anything else anybody wants to talk about? Happy briefing. We'll see you back here sometime. Thanks for participating, everybody.
Thank you.